No, she's also hairless right now because she's just been through chemotherapy. But he has never. Yes. Yeah. David, are you there?
I am here, and I even have some hair.
You have some hair now? That's awesome. We can share your screen anytime you like.
Okay.
David, you want to introduce yourself? That's probably smarter.
Sure, and I sent some slides along, so I don't know how you want to do this. It's probably easier just go turn, or I can share.
Share's probably smarter.
Okay, we'll give it a try.
Given I'm a techno idiot.
So, my name is David Lankus. I'm a professor at Syracuse University, and I spend quite a bit of time thinking about where librarians are going and evolving, and that's about me. So, let's see if we can... This will be fun. Let's see if we can, in fact, share our screen here.
David wrote The New Atlas of Librarianship, which is a big hard copy book, old technology that's absolutely brilliant. And then he wrote a book. I've forgotten the title of it, David, but it's basically Try Harder.
Expect More.
Expect More, which is a huge challenge to librarians, and it's a great plain read if you want to read something awesome.
Thank you very much. All right, so can you see something, I hope?
Yes.
All right. So I've got about, I believe, 10 minutes to just go briefly through our experience with the MOOC, and I have lots of stats because I figure it's probably useful to put some real numbers in, and then, as I understand it, we'll have time for a discussion on a panel. Is that about right?
Love it.
Very good. Okay, so let's just start out with it. The motivation, so we offered a master class in new librarianship. It started July 8th, ran about a month. We had about a month extension because some folks wanted to get it done. And the goal of that class was here. First of all, to provide professional development. We wanted to get out there and talk about some of the ideas that have been emerging and some of the advanced practice. And we wanted to get a chance for librarians to express what they were thinking about and show off those different things. Secondly, we wanted to, you know, let's be honest, increase the reputation of our school. So when we look at the business models, because one of the things that I think we'll get to at the end is we all love the idea of free open education for the universe, which is great, but we also have to figure out what the business model is for paying and providing it. So the justification that we came up with was, of course, marketing, increasing the reputation of the iSchool and Syracuse University. We needed to experiment in the MOOC space. Libraries have been accused in the past of being slightly fad-driven. I think it was Michael Gorman who talked about libraries as the graveyard of lost technologies. You know, where somewhere there in your library somewhere will be a briefcase full of microfiche because that was the future. And so we wanted to experiment too. Universities have that, and of course universities have it. With a reputational drive behind it, so if Berkeley and Harvard and MIT are going to do it, of course Syracuse University, being a peer institution, will try it as well. So we wanted to get in on it. We were very... if Michael's there, we wanted to beat him to be the first MOOC out there, so we... so we tried that. And the other one was to test a continuing education business model. So the idea here is that, you know, we have a great model at a university, which is to put people in debt for the rest of their life and give them a degree. We wanted to see if there was a slight variation we could come up to, which is after we put them in debt to get their degree, if we could continue to put them in debt for the rest of their life, that would be great. At the end of it, we'll talk about the fact that $150 does not really, as a business model, replace a $3,000 tuition bill. But we wanted to see sort of what is that market out there. We have a situation where librarians, for the most part, get their degree and never have a need to go back and continually refresh their skills, putting that in the positive way. And we wanted to see if this was a way we could do it. So let's get down to some wonderful statistics on this to see how we did. We had about 3,100 folks say, yes, this sounds great, I'd love to do it. And they filled out a web form and we sent information. Of that, 2,405 actually enrolled in the course. So these were the people who took the step from, I'm interested, to actually, okay, I'm going to enroll, let me see it. And below you'll see some of the distribution of the folks who signed up. You'll see the age distribution there, which is kind of interesting. You'll see that we primarily attracted a North American audience, which is not surprising. We'll see primarily a female audience, which is not surprising, and primarily a full-time audience. So that gives you a sense of who was signing up. in terms of their listed motivation, we asked them why they signed up to the course. Number one was professional development, followed by personal development. Some people were doing a formal study requirement. Some people were doing just research and a lot of curiosity out there. Jeffrey Pomerantz, who's, I think, still in the middle of his metadata MOOC through Coursera, had something like 30,000 people sign up. And I'm guessing a few of those might have been just curious, but we'll see. Running through the statistics again quickly, we had 232 people that actually finished the course to the point where they took, there was about 20-some quizzes where they took them all, and they got their wonderful certificates of completion. 39 had all but one quiz done, 12 had all but two quizzes done, and 10 had all of three quizzes done. Now, that's that number, and then 591 did at least one of the quizzes. Now, that number is the famous 10% number that's emerging from MOOCs. That is, by and large, depending on how many people, well, not depending on how many people sign up, you're getting about a 10% completion ratio. So we're in that ballpark, maybe a little bit better. We're sort of priming the pump to try and push these folks to finish, but relatively happy with that. Even going in, we knew that many people were signing up to sort of get the professional development, maybe watch the videos, but they weren't all that interested in going through quizzes and getting a certificate of completion. They just wanted to sort of get in and play and see. We had one person take it for graduate credit. That's right. One person actually did send us a really big check. And to do that, they had to complete the online MOOC, and then there was additional work, so they got three graduate credits. That additional work included writing papers and working and consulting directly with me as the instructor. We are very interested in that idea of, you know, here's the MOOC for those in continuing education. Here's additional work to bring it up to sort of what we consider graduate-level effort, which is much more one-on-one and much less one-on 2,500 people. And we had 20 of those, approximately, who then took the step of actually getting certificates, continuing education unit certificates, which cost them about $150 U.S. to do that. So gives you a distribution about how many people completed, how many were willing to pay the big bucks, how many were willing to pay the relatively small bucks, and sort of go through that process. So I'm going to just run through a couple of these because we probably have more interesting things to talk about. But we asked overall, was this MOOC a positive experience? You can see there that I think we did pretty well with about 9 people that were really not happy with us, but we'll get into that why. Well, actually, we'll just ignore them completely, let's be honest. All right. The question here is, how would you describe your actual level of participation during this? So this is what they said at the end. 43 said they're memorably active. I guess that means that we're supposed to remember them. But they were in there posting to discussion boards, and there's a really fabulous conversation going on, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. 157 characterized themselves as moderate. 4 registered but never really got going. 95 just sat back and watched. And 9 started it but ended quickly, saying, forget it. And then at the bottom, you see that of the 2,400 people, they spent about 10,000 hours on the MOOC. Average per user was about 4.5 hours, and we had a range of anywhere from 0 hours up to 93 hours spent in that month working on this course. Now, technically, that means they were logged in, so they may well have fallen asleep while doing the readings, but that's the data that we have. It's interesting to compare that briefly between what they thought they were going to participate in and how they actually participated. So, for example, the majority of people thought they'd be moderate contributors, and that's probably where they ended up. So there was a relatively good matchup between what they thought they were going to do and what they actually did, which may not surprise you, but it's worth at least noting. Based on your experience in this MOOC, how likely are you to register for another one that we offer in the future? And you can see everywhere from 100 completely likely to 2 that will never talk to us again. And then running through
the... But that's less than the 5 who hated it.
That's true. They must have hated me. And they say, well, we'll give them another try. Maybe they'll get a good professor out there. Anyway, based on this, how likely are they to take any other MOOCs? And you can see there we actually go up to between 87 completely likely, 109 very likely. And I really got the sense in looking at the discussion, and Michael can probably comment on this, that there was this sort of MOOC tour going on this year between mine and then the Hyperlib MOOC and others, that people were really getting in and trying it. we used, in case you're wondering, the platform that we used to deliver the MOOC. And Stephen, I thank you again for the post that you put out, I think a month or so ago, about the platforms people are using to deliver online instructions. And the number one of that being Moodle, which is the open source variant of Drupal. And in fact, when we started putting the course together, we started in a Moodle environment. And Syracuse University is a Blackboard shop, for good or for bad, which is primarily for bad, frankly. But the idea here is, when we sort of got going with this, there was a MOOC offered before ours from a colleague of mine, Jeff Stanton, on data sciences. And he really, you know, cut a path for us and learned that, you know, what worked, what didn't. And so we ended up settling not only for his and our MOOC, but probably MOOCs in the general, around this place called CourseSites. And CourseSites is a MOOC, open MOOC environment provided by Blackboard, so it's their technology, their interface. But they'll allow anyone to sign up and offer a MOOC online for free. So that's what we use. And this is the general rating of satisfaction with that platform. And you can see it's actually pretty high. The number one complaint that we got, and it's an obvious complaint, is the bulletin board or discussion board structure wasn't very good. And the response is, I have yet to figure out anyone since the Greeks that have figured out how to have a good, active conversation with 2,500 people at one time. So there are ways to break them down. In other words, we could put them in subgroups and then have groups report up. But our going into this was the feeling that we really wanted everyone to talk to everyone else as opposed to being sort of thrown into a smaller group. That, coupled with Syracuse's way of doing this, is to really try and be very hands-on. We didn't want to just offer a robot MOOC where people would see the videos and leave. And so myself and three other instructors spent a lot of time on those discussion boards. And as you'll see later, in Twitter and in Facebook, really trying to engage those groups. Since the primary content was based on that Atlas of New Librarianship that Stephen mentioned, and I wrote it, I'm kind of interested to see whether they liked it, and so far they did. Actually, if you look at the reviews online, it's a pretty close match. The very dissatisfied would be Lane Wilkinson, and I love him dearly, but he and I just don't see eye to eye on epistemology. So, also for those budding authors, that big spike you see is when the MOOC was offered, and if you want to sell books, just build the whole curriculum on your book. I do that with our beginning library science student. I am that professor. But anyway,
I'll tell you, that's the model that the textbook publishers saw as well.
Yes, and in fact, I thought
free will drive your textbook sales.
Yeah, a great post said, you know, we wanted to offer MOOCs, and what we're really offering are enhanced textbooks. And I don't completely disagree with that. How satisfied were the videos? Yay. Beyond the course, we had conversations in a bunch of blogs. These were really thoughtful discussions. Active Twitter feed, a Facebook group, lots of people out there having conversations. A lot of people, when there was a huge crush on the discussion boards, ran to Twitter, and a lot of conversation was going on via Twitter, and so I recommend, if you get a chance, to take a look at some of these. Finally, what MOOC team does it take? There was the faculty, plus we had instructional designers, tech support, the program director to help people register and get through the sort of bureaucracy that we set up, and finally, our promotional staff. And lesson learned, one, there's a desire for deep conversation on librarianship. We were in there, and we were talking not only about how we done do it good, and the idea of, you know, what's the latest fad. We had people in there talking about what is the nature of truth, what is the nature of meaning, what business are we in, what do we want to become social workers or not, what does it mean to give up artifacts and the role of artifacts, what does a post-document library look like. So there's a role and desire for deep conversations, not just a how-to sessions. And for us internally, we looked at the idea of moving from certifying someone at the beginning of their career, giving them a bachelor's degree, and then that wears out, so that we re-inject them with a master's degree, and then that wears out, and we re-inject them with a PhD, to the idea of continuing education, to really the idea of continuous education. How can we take librarians and start on the first day of their library program and continually engage them in how we can all work and do better and learn? And I think, and I'm sure Michael will talk about this, there's a huge opportunity for libraries of all stripes in MOOCs, in offering them, in building them, in supporting them, in identifying community members, and working with them, in the academic world, I really see the idea of putting on courseware, MOOCs, and online education as the new academic library. So, that's my spiel, and I turn it back over.